This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Firstly, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that He has given us. We praise Allah for creating us as believers. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. A great ni'mah, a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That out of so many people in this world, out of 7 billion people in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you and I to tread the path of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. A great ni'mah, a great blessing given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this gift that He has not given the others, the gift of Islam. And this is something that unites each and every one of us. The deen of Islam is something that puts us together, makes us united under that banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. When you go and ask other people, what are you? Where are you from? They will tell you that I'm an Australian. They will tell you I'm an American. They will tell you I'm Canadian. I'm a Pakistani. I'm Fijian. I'm an Indian, I'm a Bangladeshi, I'm an Arab. They'll tell you all of these nationalistic ways of themselves explaining others about themselves. But they do not realize that Islam is that thing that unites all of us together. It is Islam that comes before any of your national countries. We are first and foremost Muslim before we are Fijian. We are first and foremost Muslim before we are Australian. We're first and foremost a Muslim before we are Pakistani, Bangladeshi, American, or whatever you may be. This is what unites us. This is what is so unique about Islam. And ask yourself this question. When you look at Australia in general, when you leave Australia to go to another country, and if they ask you, where are you from? You would usually say to that person that I'm from Australia, because you're really from here. You live here. So you tell that person, I'm from Australia. Likewise, if an Australian goes to another country, and he says the same thing, an Aussie, he says the same thing, I'm from Australia, I'm an Australian. A person whose background is from Fiji, and if someone asks him, where are you from? They'll say, I'm from Australia. And this is common, this is general, everyone does this. Because what unites us Australians here is that the fact that we are Australian. That is what unites us here in this country. But what unites us as Muslims is the fact that we are all under the banner of Islam. When we go to Hajj, we see so many millions of people, about 4 or 5 million of people gathered together in the Haram, circling around the Kaaba, doing tawaf, or in the Sa'i from Safa and Marwa, or when they are throwing the Jamarat, or when they are standing in the place of Arafat, wearing that white clothing. What unites all of them? the fact that it's the white clothing they're wearing, and the fact that they are all Muslim. This is what unites them. This is what is so beautiful about Islam. It doesn't say what color you're from. Either you're white, you're black, you're red, you're yellow, anything you may be. What unites us is that the fact that you are a Muslim. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I? In Maghrib Salah, we stood in line. All of us in the same saf. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 saf. We all stood together, shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot, leaving no gaps, praying behind the imam, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying Allahu Akbar, we submit to Allah. What unites us all is that the fact that we are Muslim. The fact that we are Muslim. This is the beauty of Islam. It doesn't see who is the richest out of the people in the saf. It doesn't see who is the most poorest out of the people in the saf. It doesn't see all of that. But what it sees is that the fact that you have taqwa, the fact that you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that you raise your hands, saying that I submit to Allah, and you fold your hands, all of us together in one saf. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? This is unity. This is Islam, and this is brotherhood. One of the most important things, or one of the most important aspects of Islam, is the brotherhood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to have. This brotherhood, this connection that we are supposed to have with one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Which means, the believers are like brothers to one another. So promote peace and reconciliation among them. And fear Allah that you may receive mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that every Muslim is a brother. Every single Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. This is who we are. This is how Allah created us. And this itself is so important in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the first thing that he did, the first action that he took when the nation of Islam started in Medina, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, we know the reasons. They were persecuted. They didn't have their own place. So they were ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave Mecca and to enter Medina. And what was the first, or one of the first things that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that he found very important, was to strengthen that brotherhood. To strengthen that brotherhood. And when you analyze the situation in Medina, there were people who we know as, they are called the Ansari. They were from two groups, the Aus and Khazraj. And if we learn or we read about the history of the Aus and Khazraj, their history is full of war. Their history is full of battle. They envied each other. They hated each other. And for that reason, so many wars took place. They needed a savior. They needed someone to come and unite them together. They needed that person. And they knew that that person is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only man who is promoting unity between the different classes of people. The Aus thought that they were more superior. The Khazraj thought that they were more superior. So they approached Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They embraced the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to Medina and establish the state of Islam. So when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, he brought with them the Muhajirun from Mecca. The people of Mecca, the Muslims of Mecca. So when they migrated, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the situation. The Meccans or the Muhajirun are different types of people, even though they were all Arabs. But they were from different backgrounds. They had a different culture. And the people of Medina are different. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew very well, for Islam to survive, or for the Muslims to live peacefully together, he has to create that brotherhood between them. That's what he has to do. So the first thing he ordered, that one Ansari will be a brother of a Muhajir. And he did that with many and many of the Sahabas. And one classic hadith, where we all pretty much know about this, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered together Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu from Mecca, and Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu who was an Ansari. So Rasulullah ﷺ told them that you two are brothers. You two are now brothers. And they understood the meaning of brotherhood. Not like us. We think we understand the meaning of brotherhood, but it's always nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. It's always myself, myself, myself. That's all I care about. We don't care about others. Islam is not caring about yourself only, but Islam is caring about others more than yourself. And the Sahabas understood the meaning of brotherhood. When they embrace Islam, they embrace Islam whole, fully. That's who they are. They understood it well. We are Muslims just by name Muslims. We are Muslims so that we come to the masjid and people can see us praying salah and that's it. We need to go beyond that. We need to show Islam sincerely with our heart. And the Sahabas understood. When these two Sahabas got together, Sa'ad ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that I have lots of property, I have money, I have wealth. I will give you half of my wealth. Imagine if you have in your bank account at the moment $100,000 sitting there, right? And a brother came to you, or a brother asking for help of someone who's poor, not at the same status, but someone who's poor. Can you imagine for yourself, can you ever give half of your wealth to that person? Ask yourself that question. It's very, very hard to do it. But the Sahabas understood the meaning of brotherhood. And not just that, imagine if you had two wives. Imagine if you had two wives and you tell that brother that I will divorce one and marry you to her. Something almost impossible for us to do. But Sa'ad ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wanted to do that because of that love for that brother who was an immigrant. Subhanallah. This is the love they had with each other. This is the connection they had, even though they're from different class or maybe from different backgrounds. But look at that love. Look at that brotherhood. So what did Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu, what did he say? Yes, give it to me. I want it. No. He knew he can do it. He knew that he was able to get married himself. He knew he is able to do business and gain some wealth. So all he said, just show me the marketplace in Medina. And Sa'ad ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu showed him the marketplace. He went. He did some business with yogurt and butter. He used to buy and sell. So much so that within a few days, he was able to get married. And subhanAllah, when he got married, he was walking in the street and there was some yellow henna on him. So Rasulullah ﷺ saw him and he asked, Ya Abdurrahman, what's this color on your face? Because that color is usually for the women who used to put on themselves after they get married. And Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu, he said that I got married, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah ﷺ was shocked. He was thinking, he just came from Mecca to Medina with nothing. How was he able to get married? He asked, what did you give in mahar? What did you give in mahar? And Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu said, he said that I gave an equal amount of gold to a date seed. To a date seed. That's how much gold I gave. And that was a lot. Rasulullah ﷺ was amazed. So Rasulullah ﷺ was so happy and he said, call a walima. Do a walima. Because this is an amazing opportunity for brothers to get together and know that he is married. So look at that brotherhood, a unique story between two brothers who didn't know each other at all. But because they understood the meaning of Islam, they understood when they embrace Islam what it means. They understood the meaning of brotherhood, they got together and they helped out each other. Allahu Akbar. And this is just one incident. This is just one story out of many thousands of stories that you can find about the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. My brothers and my sisters, it is something very important to understand that brotherhood can be destroyed very easily. Brotherhood can be destroyed very, very easily. And I'll share with you a few points of how brotherhood can be destroyed. Number one, having negative assumptions about each other. Having negative assumptions about each other. When you think about someone else, your brother for example, any Muslim, if he does something, you start having negative assumptions about him. Let's say for example, he invited a few people in his house for a dinner. And he was close to you. He had a party. And he didn't invite you to the party. He didn't invite you to the party. You start having these negative assumptions. Why didn't he invite me? Does he hate me? Does he envy me because I've got a huge house? Does he hate me for any other reason? This is now the shaitan's opportunity to attack you. Why didn't he invite you? The shaitan is asking you constantly, whispering in your ear. Start having these negative assumptions. But then later on you found out that that person just completely forgot to invite you. He completely forgot. And he came to you the next day apologizing. He came to you the next day calling you over for dinner again. That negative assumption can create hatred. And this is very, very, very dangerous. Number two, spying on each other. And this is anywhere you go, you see Muslims spying on each other. And it happens in a political stance as well. Where people go spy on their brother in order to dob them in to the ASIO, for example. Or dob them into the police. Or dob them in for any other reason. They want to create problems with one another. So they go and spy and see what they do. Any little small action or any wrong thing they do, they go and tell others about it. They spy on them. And we know how dangerous spying is. Rasulullah ﷺ even said that if you hide the fault of your brother, if you hide the fault, you see someone, you're not because you're spying, but because it just happened to be in front of you. That person did something wrong or a sinful act. And you saw it. And you did not tell anyone. You covered that fault of your brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover your fault on the Day of Judgment. Because everything on the Day of Judgment is going to be clear in front of you. What did you do? The good that you did and the evil that you did. It will be in front of so many people. Imagine the embarrassment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sins that you have committed in front of your father, in front of your wife, in front of your mother, in front of your children. Look, imagine the embarrassment that you're going to have. But if you cover the faults of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not announce your sins in front of people. Allah will tell you silently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to you and no one will be able to hear. This is the beauty of covering the sins of others. Allah will cover yours. So spying on each other is a grave sin and something that must be avoided. Backbiting. Backbiting creates this distrust, and also it creates that breakage of brotherhood. When you backbite about each other, what are you really doing? You are talking bad about him. You are talking bad about him, even though he might not have done something wrong. But you are talking bad about him to others, laughing about him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, in many places about backbiting, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَاتِ الْلُمَزَةِ. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say here? Curse, wail. This curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this part of hell, be upon those who backbite. And not just backbite, even this facial expression that you make to a brother is considered backbiting. How is that? When you are talking with someone, and you see a brother walking past you, and you don't like him, and you make this facial expression like this, just look at him, and you smile, and you look at him, and you laugh. That is considered backbiting. That is considered a major sin that you have just committed. SubhanAllah, even that action, Allah hates. Even that action is so severe. That is why Islam encourages that bond, that tie, to stop all these backbiting happening. And for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْنِ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh, you who believe. Are we believers? Are we believers? Yes. So Allah is addressing all of us. Oh, you who believe, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Stay away from negative assumptions. For verily, these assumptions can become sins. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. And do not spy on each other. وَلَا يَغْتَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And do not backbite about each other. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ. Allah is asking us a question. The sin of this act, would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? You can't even imagine it, right? فَكَرِهْتُمُوا. You will hate it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah tawwab rahim. But Allah says at the end that He is the one who forgives, the most merciful. So why is He saying He forgives and He's the most merciful? Because we are sinful people. We do backbite about each other, correct? No one can put a hand up and say we've never backbitten about someone. No one can do that. Every one of us are guilty. But Allah says at the end, Inna Allah tawwab rahim. Verily I'm the most forgiving and the most merciful. If we commit such an act, turn back to me and repent to me, and I will answer you. I will give you forgiveness. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, oppression. When you oppress one another, when you hurt each other by calling them names, by swearing at them, by physical abuse, this is oppression, this is dhulm. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He says, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, la yadhlimuhu wa la yuslimuhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. So do not oppress him and do not give him away to an oppressor. Do not oppress him and do not give him away to an oppressor. So he is your brother. He should be connected to you always. You should not oppress him in any shape or form, in any way. And do not give him to someone who oppresses people. Do not make him friends with someone who always abuses people. Make him away from him. Save him from that. This is something very, very important. Number five, jealousy. And jealousy is very common amongst a lot of us. We see even from our own brothers and sisters that are blood related. If you see that one has more than the other, one has a beautiful wife than the other, one has a huge house compared to the other, one has a nice car compared to the other, one has a lot of money compared to the other, that is when shaitan starts attacking your heart and saying, look what he's got, look what you got. Look what he's got, look what you got. Then you start envying that person. Then you start feeling that jealousy for that person. You want that. So then that jealousy can turn into evil eye. That evil eye can turn so nasty that it can destroy you and it can destroy that person. And that is something that is absolutely forbidden in Islam. This is something that can break even the blood relations apart. And this happens many, many places. There are many cases amongst Muslims where this happens. Stay away from this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iyyakum wal hasad, fa innal hasad ya'kulu al hasanat kama ta'kulu an nar al hatab." Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that stay away from jealousy. Keep away from jealousy. For verily jealousy eats away the good deeds that you have done. So the good deeds that you have, all the accounts that you are accumulating, any envy that you have with one another or jealousy that you have, that hasad that you have, it eats away the good deeds. So your account is getting less and less and less. Just like how fire eats away the wood. Just like that. Have you ever seen firewood? I'm sure all of you have. And you light up fire, what happens to the wood? It burns up so quickly. So your deeds can just burn up so quickly. Something very dangerous. Number six, hatred. Hatred to one another. And hatred could be in many different forms. Make sure that as Muslims, do not hate one another. He might have more than you. You might have less than him. But do not hate him for what he has. Do not hate him for something that he'd done to you, which was maybe a bit evil. Try to forgive him. Do not have that hatred, because he can break that bond of brotherhood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, when two brothers hate each other, when two brothers hate each other completely, and they do not speak to one another for more than 3 days, and if they die upon this hatred, they will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. So how can we hate each other when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasize on this point? Imagine, just ask yourself the question, who do I hate? Who do I hate? Ask yourself, and then ask yourself the question, have I spoken to him recently? If you haven't, at least say salam to him. At least go to him and say salam. Inshallah, that will expiate it. Make sure we do not have that hatred, that envy, that jealousy, that spying that you do, or all of these things. Take it away from our hearts. Take it absolutely away from our hearts. Beware of this thing that we have in our mouth. The tongue. The tongue can destroy brothers, blood brothers, sisters, a father and a son, a mother and a daughter. It can destroy anyone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you believe in the day of judgment, then speak good or remain silent. Don't say a word, because this thing in your mouth can break up relationships so easily. Always, as Muslims, it is part of the characteristic of a Muslim to speak good every single time. How can we strengthen the Muslim Brotherhood? What are the steps we can do? What are the things we can do? One of the most common things that we can do is say salam. Say salam to one another. When you see someone, when you see a Muslim brother approaching you, do not turn away from him and walk. Do not turn away from him and walk. And I've seen many, many incidents that Muslims in this masjid, they say salam to the ones they know only. They say salam to the ones they know. What about to the rest of your brothers and sisters? Sisters to sisters, of course. What about the rest of your brothers? Why can't you say salam to them? Who are they to you? They are your brothers in Islam. Whoever you see in your path, they say salam to him. Whoever you see, shake his hand. Because that what unites you is that Islam that you have. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afshu salam baynakum." Constantly say salam to one another. Wherever you may be, say salam, say salam, say salam. And I mentioned this story to you before, so I'll cut it very short. Just by this salam, a brother who was going to the same school as I was, he used to say salam to any Muslim he sees, and he used to hug him and shake his hand. Just because of this, the non-Muslims staring and looking, three of them embrace Islam. Just because of this salam, he loves the other brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at the impact that salam has. And the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that when a Muslim meets another Muslim and shakes his hand and says salamu alaikum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts forgiving his sins until they are part. Until they are part. So imagine that moment that you're with that brother. Imagine if you come into the masjid and you said salam to 10 people. You shook their hand. Imagine how much sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you. Amazing, isn't it? That sins can be forgiven like this. Number two, again, very easy to do. Smile at one another. Smile at your brothers. Sisters, smile at your sisters. Because this creates that bond. This creates that love. And you might think smiling, but Rasulullah ﷺ emphasized on smiling. He said, smile because this is charity. If you smile, you get the reward of charity. So when you greet someone, smile at that person. Don't say assalamu alaikum and just walk off. It doesn't work that way. When you see that person, look at him. Rasulullah ﷺ, whenever he said salam to someone, whenever he greeted, even though the person is next to him, he wouldn't just turn his head and say salam. He would turn his body, look at him, smile at him, and shake his hand and say salamu alaikum. That was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So do we think that we are more superior than Rasul? Do we think that a person coming here and just shake his hand and walk off? No. Look at him, smile at him, say salamu alaikum. Ask him, how are you? How was your day? That creates that bond. Number three, care for others more than yourself. This is something very hard to do, isn't it? To care or to love for someone more than yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." A hadith where every one of us should memorize. "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." That none of you believe until you love for other Muslims more than yourself. More than yourself. And Umar radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah, he came once to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anything else except for myself." He said to Rasulullah that I love you more than anything else except for myself. What did Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, "MashaAllah, good on you." No. He said, "Not yet, Umar. You need to love me more than yourself." Later on, Umar radiallahu anhu realized and he came to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you now more than even myself." And what did Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? "Al-ana ya Umar." Now you have tasted that sweetness, ya Umar. Now you are a true believer. To love, obviously first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your parents, your brothers, always have them ahead of yourself. When you do this, you will help each other more. You will always have this thought about your brother or your neighbor next to you. You will constantly think about those who are suffering in Burma. You will constantly think about those who are suffering in Syria, because they are your brothers and sisters. How many times a day do we make dua for them? How many times a day do we literally make dua for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in this world today? Or how many times do we make dua for ourselves only? Nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. It's only ourselves, right? But what about our brothers and sisters who are suffering? What about them? That's why you need to love them more than ourselves. Help them any way, shape or form you can. This is brotherhood. Support each other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Innal mu'minu lil mu'mini. Innal mu'minu lil mu'mini. Kal baytan. Yushiddu ba'duhu ba'da. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that a Muslim to another Muslim is like a building. It's like a house, like a building. They support each other. The walls, they support each other, right? If a wall breaks, what happens to the building? It collapses. So we are Muslims that support each other. When someone is suffering, you support him. You pick him up when he needs help. When you see him suffering, if he can't walk, you help him walk. If he can't lift his bag up at the airport, you lift his bag up at the airport. All of this creates brotherhood, and the others are watching you. The others are watching how generous you are, how kind you are to others. And that attracts them. You know, all of these things that we are doing, anything, all the brotherhood that we are talking about right now, it is a path to da'wah. This is what da'wah is. Da'wah is not saying, hey, become a Muslim. No, da'wah is also by your action. So this brotherhood is through action. And they see this. There are many cases where they see people, or where they see how generous or how kind our Muslims are. I'll give you a little story. A man who was a non-Muslim, he visited, I think it was Yemen. He was going past, he was a non-Muslim. And as he was passing, he lost his way. And he ended up in a little village. So he saw someone walking on the street who was a Muslim. And he said, is there any hotels close by? So the man said, there's no hotel here, but come and stay with me. So the man took him to his house. Actually, this non-Muslim was with another non-Muslim. They were traveling together. So they came to the house. It was very dark, no street lights. The house was there. The houses were all joined together. So then this Muslim told the two men to stay here. This is my house. Stay here. He cooked for him. They ate. And then he spread their mattress. They slept. The next day, one of the men, he went outside. And he saw that that owner of the house is actually getting up from under a tree. And then the man asked, what are you doing under a tree this early? So later on, he found out that this man actually slept under the tree. And then later on, when this non-Muslim found out, he said, what are you doing? This is your house. Why are you sleeping under the tree? Because when suddenly it was sunrise, he actually saw how small his house was. His house was very small. And the man asked, why did you do such a thing? And he said, you're my guest. You're a traveler. You're my guest. And I'm a Muslim. I need to take care of my guest. And subhanAllah, just because of that, this non-Muslim started learning about Islam. He saw the beauty just from this man. And after a couple of months, he embraced Islam. Amazing. These small actions that you do, the non-Muslims see it and they embrace Islam. Give gifts. When you see each other after a while, give gifts once in a while. You don't have to give a $100 gift. You can give something very small. Because when you give someone a gift, they feel this love between each other. They feel it. They feel that you care about me. That's why you have given me a gift. And subhanAllah, there are so many hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ used to encourage Aisha radiallahu anha to give gifts to her neighbors, to give gifts to her friends. Rasulullah ﷺ used to give gifts to others because it creates that attraction and that bond and that relationship. So make sure, let's not lose this sunnah. Meet each other constantly. Not long left, inshallah. Meet each other constantly. And one of the best places to meet is right here, in this masjid. We meet here 5 times a day, almost, some of us. 5 times a day. We come in here, we see each other. We greet each other, we say salam, we pray in the same saf. This creates that love. This creates that attraction with one another. This creates the bond of brotherhood. A masjid is not a place to fight. A masjid is a place to know each other, to create that harmony, to create that peace. That is why Rasul ﷺ encouraged the Muslim brothers to come to the masjid for salah and pray together. One of the reasons is so that they can increase that love and that brotherhood with one another. This is where we meet. This is how we should join brotherhood. Jum'ah salah. After Jum'ah salah, Jum'ah is like Eid, as Rasulullah ﷺ said. After Jum'ah salah, when you go out, don't just walk off. Go out and meet your brothers. Meet your brothers, say salam to them. Say, how was your day? Unless you have a job to go to. But if you have free time, meet them. Go and meet your family. This is the time, this is Eid. And also the Eid prayers. When you go to Eid prayers, that is a time to meet each other. A time to join that brotherhood. And last point, there's more points, but these are the most important points that I found. And the last point is forgiveness. When someone does something bad to you, or something wrong to you, something that you hate, it's very hard to forgive that person. But when forgiveness starts coming in your heart, and you forgive your brothers, you forgive your sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates that bond together, that brotherhood together. And that is so beautiful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever forgives and whoever reconciliates between brothers, then their ajr, their reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? That means Allah can give as much as He wants to that person. Allah can give as much as He wants to that person when you start forgiving each other. Something hard to do. But if we have this, it will be an Islamic characteristic, an Islamic identity, which is to forgive one another. Mistakes happen. Mistakes do happen. We are all Muslims. We can hurt each other because we are insan, we are human beings. But when that happens, when it is your fault, know that you should go and ask forgiveness and that brother forgives you. So my brothers and sisters, know that brotherhood is something very important in Islam. And to strengthen the brotherhood, it means that you are indeed fulfilling one of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the pathway of peace, a pathway of unity, a pathway of tranquility, and a pathway to enter Jannah. وجزاكم الله خير. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So next Friday we won't be having any lecture. So we ask our brothers, sisters to join their Sundays in Hila.
The points that you have written.
Yeah, I just wrote it down on the paper.
Can I have this on the?
Yeah, sure. Oh my God. Sure. Yeah, I'll put a copy on it. Oh, you're right. Yeah, inshallah. Yeah, no worries. Inshallah.
You know what happened? One problem with my friends, He for a long time, before he married, he used to work with me. What happened is, after he married.
Sorry?
After he married.
Yeah.
He looked at me in outside. After he married, you know what he said? This is subhanAllah, he said, Why are you going to work too hard? Make more children? Then look at the dog. SubhanAllah, Allah give it to him. Whatever he say, Allah give it to him. He not working for almost 30 years. Not working. He got 6 good children, I think, 6 of them. When he always say to friends, I got a back problem. I tell my friends, look, brother, you open all the books about Islam. If you want to know he's healthy or not healthy, when you salat jama'ah with him, have a look. The salat jama'ah is the best gym in the world.
Yeah.
you know. Yeah. I tell him.
Yeah, of course.
The best gym in the world.
Of course.
If you scratch here a little bit, mm-hmm. you saw that not really perfect. You go like this.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Here.
Of course, of course.
And he said his back problem for years. We know that. And I tell him, look, I tell him the time will tell. The time will never finish. Even Kiyama, we call time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody dead, only Yom will Kiyama still day the time.
So,
the time will tell.
Yeah.
What happened last few weeks, I find out, he just started, because now the brother used to work lawn mowing and everything. He passed away. You know, he always do every mosque in Sydney for free.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he go to mosque 3 o'clock in the morning, they open up, they take care. When he passed away, he doing this business.
Mm-hmm.
He started. When I tell my brother, I say, look, that's what he done for 30 years.
Yeah.
He's lying. Well, he's lying now, the government, he's stealing the money.
Mm-hmm.
Wallah, he's stealing the money.
Of course. I know so many people that...
You know what you do now? What you do? Some brother said, look, if you see like this, what can you do? You want to tell the government, these people, what a cheating person, stealing the money. Brother, remember, in your pocket now, you got the Elizabeth II in your pocket now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't tell everything is in the for bread. No, it's not bad.
Of course.
Bad, don't come here.
Don't come here, exactly. Exactly. Actually, we are fortunate one way that we are living here. Fortunate not in every aspect of life, but fortunate in a way that we are free to perform our religion.
That's right.
You know, you go to some. A sheikh told me that he went to Lebanon and he went to many Arab countries. They are worse.
Yeah.
That's right. Worse.
When I go to Hajj, I go to my uncle's place. My uncle, my auntie's husband born in Mecca. He worked in Mecca. And I go to his place one night, and suddenly the TV was out. I said, what happened? I said, Abdurrahman, what happened here? He said, look, these people talking about the jihad. The government take it. Subhanallah. This is none of the imams. You see the take it in the front of the TV.
Oh. Say it, inshallah.
You know, it's hard.
Yeah, of course.
Mike, you're responsible for that.
Of course.
Absolutely.